Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, I give my perspective on the series, on the season, and on being a Dodger fan as a whole. So that's what we're getting into today. So make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, Dodger fans, Vince Samperio here. I want to thank you for making us your first listen every morning, especially now in the off season. I want to thank you for making us your first listen every morning throughout the regular season, and want to make sure that you know that we are available wherever you find podcasts or on YouTube, all for free. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and here, going to go solo today, my usual partner, co-host, Jeff Snyder of Locked On Dodgers, of Baseball Essential. I didn't get to give my perspective on everything, and Jeff went solo the other day, so I would return the favor here. Not to have another episode kind of rehashing everything, but just kind of you know, my perspective and why I think this year it's been a little different the way I've been able to handle how they lost the series. So let's just jump right into this. Let's just talk about the series as a whole real quick. Surprisingly, I felt, I don't know why, but I felt more at peace this year with the loss. And I think it's because, you know, the Dodgers didn't deserve to win this series. I think there's been previous series in the past where they've played well enough, or there's been a few things here and there that I'm like, man, the Dodgers, you know, should have won that series, or they were the better team. And while on paper and overall, I think the Dodgers are still the better team, the fact of the matter is they got outplayed. And even if you want to quibble with certain things, or you want to quibble with the decision to bring in Julio in game two, if you want to quibble with, I don't know, maybe you want to quibble with starting Walker Buehler on short rest in game six, or, you know, leaving Walker Buehler maybe in a little bit too long in game six, or little things here and there, the fact of the matter is that the Dodgers were kind of simply outplayed by the Braves. Their offense hit and came up with hits when they needed it. Those first two games in Atlanta, you know, the walk-offs, they came up with those hits when they needed it. The Dodgers had the same amount of opportunities to score runs as the Braves did. They just happened to have the last opportunity in those games. The Dodgers were able to kind of turn the tables a little bit in game three and have a late opportunity to spark them. Game four, they were never really in it. And then, you know, game five, obviously they won. And then even game six, you know, game six was probably one of the more frustrating ones. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, the Braves got the big hit when they needed. The Dodgers never got the big hit when they needed. You know, the Dodgers had a lot of chances. The Dodgers could have scored off the Braves bullpen, and they didn't. And that's simply what it comes down to. So, obviously helping, you know, winning 2020 helps. I think if the Dodgers had gone another year without another World Series, and we're singing a little bit different tune here. But also, you know, it's hard to really look back and be like, you know, I think the game two thing is the main difference of what you could really argue in this series. And, you know, maybe even hitting Steven Souza Jr. in game six off Matzek, but just the way it looked, I don't think the Dodgers were going to hit Matzek no matter who it was. You can quibble with a lot of individual at-bats, a lot of staring at fastballs down the middle or fouling off or swinging and missing at fastballs down the middle. And that's probably part of a bigger issue at whole with kind of how the offense was and why it was a little bit frustrating. But, you know, they got outplayed. It didn't go their way. Their pitching didn't come through. Their bullpen came through. Their starting pitching didn't come through. And the Braves did enough to win the series. And now they head on to Houston to take on the Astros. And, you know, we'll kind of see how that goes. And well, I'm not sure how many of you will be watching. Not unfortunately, because I like baseball, but I kind of have to watch because of my regular job. So I'll keep you guys in the loop if you're not watching every day on how those games go. But yeah, I think it's one of those things where I'm just going to pin all the blame on the Giants being good before we thought, and kind of leave it there. If the Giants, you know, stayed on their regular track and were probably going to be good this next year, 2022, everything would have been fine. 2021, the Dodgers would have won the division pretty handily. Things might have gone a little bit different. I'm not sure exactly who they would have played in the wild card, but I'm sure it would have if it was the Giants in the wild card, they would have been a lower Giants team, so it might have been a little bit different. And you know, a lot of people say, oh, the Dodgers maybe wasted all their energy trying to catch the Giants and then playing the Giants, and then, you know, by the time they got to the NLCS, they were a little bit tired and everything else. And you know what? The Braves weren't chasing necessarily anybody after a certain point, but at the All-Star break, the Braves didn't have a winning record. And, you know, they got an influx of talent and that they brought in at the trade deadline, so did the Dodgers. And it just didn't work out. You know, one team played better when it came down to it than the other team. And I've been a little bit more at peace. I've come to accept it that it just happens sometimes. You know, there's years, Jeff mentioned it yesterday, so there's just years where there's teams that are better, or there's teams that are play better. You know, I think 2019, the NLDS with the Nationals, that one was just a matter of high quality pitching talent kind of winning out overall a better team in a short series. Steven Strasburg did pretty well, had two good starts against the Dodgers. Max Scherzer had one good start against the Dodgers. And those were the three games the Dodgers lost. So sometimes it just goes that way. Obviously, that decision in Game 5 by Dave Roberts changes things a little bit. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers were in that situation because of good starting pitching on the national side. So it is what it is. But we will move forward. We will move on. And that's exactly what I'm going to do in the next segment. I'm going to talk a little bit about the season as a whole and then just get into a little bit of Dodgers talk here in the final segment. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Rock Auto is where you need to go. Rock Auto is the perfect place for you to find whatever you need for your car or truck or whatever thing you have with motor vehicle that you use. Because with ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now possible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure pointless or intimidating questioning at the store, and then the person behind the counter over there is just going to order the part and either get it shipped to their store. Maybe they'll get it shipped to you. I don't know how nice they are, but I know at rockauto.com you can get it shipped right to you, and that's the best part about it. So save time and money when using Rock Auto. Don't spend up to 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership. Because Rock Auto is a family business and they've been serving people online for over 20 years with reliably low prices. So head to rockauto.com, check out their easy-to-use website. And if you get a thing that pops up that says, how did you hear about us? Write Locked On in that box and to let them know we sent you. And check everything out at rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, back, and let's talk about the 2021 Dodgers season. I have a slightly different perspective than Jeff had on yesterday's episode. He said that it wasn't a frustrating season, or he didn't feel frustrated too much. And I felt a little bit different. You know, I was as frustrated as you can be with a 106-win team. I think that's kind of where we were with this Dodger team. That is very much impacted by the fact that, like I mentioned earlier, that the Giants, you know, ended up winning 107 games. The Dodgers didn't win the division. I think a lot of the things that were frustrating was because the Dodgers were chasing the Giants and didn't end up catching them. You know, but to say that this year, you know, was completely frustrating, no, I don't think so. But, like I said, for a 106-win team that made it to the NLCS, it's about as frustrating as you can get. Just because you never really felt the consistency of an 106-win team. It was kind of not even ebbs and flows. I don't know. It was just weird. It was just a weird year. You know, a lot of injuries, a lot of things like that. Not making excuses for anything, but you know, that was just the fact of the matter. Cody Bellinger was basically a negative at this point, Cody Bellinger was a negative this season, and then ended up turning it up in the playoffs, which kind of erased a little bit of the regular season, not fully because they didn't win at all, but you know, that was kind of no fault of his own. He did as much as he could with what he had. And then, you know, you had Mookie who turned it on at there in the second half and toward the end of the season. But he kind of had a roughed up first half with some injuries, dealing with some things. You know, losing Dustin May early in the season was a tough blow. And then, you know, Trevor Bauer, the you know, his issues and everything that came with that. It wasn't, that was more like, man, like, I wish that didn't happen for all parties involved is kind of what you think there. Especially the victims that he had, or the victims specifically from this season. But the victims that we found out, or the other victim we found out about after the fact from his previous time, in the league. But you know, it just came down to the Dodgers offense and maybe the starting pitching running out of gas a little bit. And in the moment, I know the Dodgers were chasing the Giants, and that's kind of where a lot of this stems from. But we talked about kind of the whole year how we thought at some point the Dodgers were going to have to shut down Julio for a little bit of an extended time, maybe even shut down Buehler for a little bit of extended time, you know, maybe shut down Kershaw for a little bit of extended time in order to make sure they were going to be ready to go for October. And maybe the fact that they didn't get to do that coming off a 60-game season, you know, led a little bit to that. You know, everybody had to go from a 60-game season to a full season. But the Dodgers, you know, they pushed. Buehler went over 200 innings. Julio went almost, 100 innings over the most he's ever thrown or something like that. So, you know, these guys had to throw a lot. And they were expected to throw 6-7 innings every time they went out because all the other injuries, because they had the Dodgers at one point were running a rotation of 3 starting pitchers and 2 bullpen games. And while the bullpen didn't end up being too taxed at the end of the day because they had a lot of rotating arms, you know, maybe, you know, Buehler and Julio took the brunt of it because they were expected to go 6-7 every single time out. You know, they were throwing upwards of 90 to 100 pitches every time out. And, you know, maybe it did wear on them. And that's just that's just how it is sometimes. But, you know, on the pitching side, for the most part, this was one of the better bullpens we've seen, maybe the best bullpen we've seen on this 9-year run. The Dodgers ended up getting Max Scherzer, who ended up being really good in the regular season and, you know, maybe lost a little bit of gas there in the postseason as well. They had an offense that did put up over five runs a game, but an offense that just didn't quite have, or didn't seem to quite have, and maybe because they didn't win at all, just didn't quite seem to have the same magic and gusto as the 2020 team or even teams of the past. They would, you know, they put up 22 runs in one game earlier this year. They put up a bunch of runs in a few other games, but then there was some games where they needed that one hit and they didn't quite come through, and we saw that a little bit more in the postseason where they just needed that one hit. Whether it was early in the game to you know, get Charlie Morton out of the game earlier than they wanted in one of those games, whether it was late in their game when they had second and third nobody out and they didn't even put a ball in play. It's just, I think it's okay to say it was frustrating, but also knowing and having the perspective of saying, you know what, this was an 106-win team that made the playoffs for the 9th straight year, that went to the NLCS and was 2 games away from reaching the World Series. I think you can put all those in perspective, and maybe some people don't, and that's kind of where you lose people a little bit, because, you know, Dodger fans have become very spoiled, and, you know, thankfully so, because we get to see this team for the last 9 years. We've got to see this team play in October, and, you know, maybe not so thankful for a lot of how those years ended, you know, but for me, it's just a matter of my team is good. I get to enjoy a regular season where a lot of fun things happen. And then I usually get to enjoy October a little bit where maybe not the fun things don't always happen, but there is some fun things that do happen. I mean, even from this year's playoff run, we have Chris Taylor's walk-off. We have Chris Taylor's three-home run game. We have Cody Bellinger's big home run. You know, we have Cody Bellinger's hit in the Bay Area to beat the Giants. We'll have the check swing that ended that series. And that's a lot of memories for an extra month of baseball. And you know, not the full month, but at least 20 days or so, however long they went into October. So it was fun. You know, season was fun. And, yeah, there's a lot of things, especially for somebody like us who we cover the team to a certain extent. You know, we're watching every single game, Jeff and I, for the most part. And I was able to go to a lot of games. I probably went to at least, you know, 25-30 games this year at Dodger Stadium. I saw the Dodgers play in Colorado, in Anaheim, in San Diego, in San Francisco. So you make what it is out of it, and that's why baseball's the destination is fun if you can reach that destination of winning a World Series. But the journey is really fun too, and you can't quite enjoy that journey if you're only focused on the destination. And that's not, you know, some fake woke or deep thought quote. That's just the way it is with baseball. At the end of the day, there's 30 teams. Only one's going to win the World Series. In my lifetime, that's been the Dodgers one time. And it's not going to deter me from being a Dodger fan anymore. I'm not going to watch any less. I'm not going to, you know, do anything different. I'm going to continue to go to as many Dodger games as I can go to because I like being at Dodger Stadium and watching the Dodgers. And then I'm going to continue to live and die with every pitch in October and you know, until it doesn't happen anymore, you know, until maybe they're not good for a year. And I'm still going to watch it, all the games, but we just won't get to watch in October. And I think that's the other part of it too is, you know, it's hard to kind of put that in perspective at this point for a lot of us. 9 years is a long time. That's almost a third of my life where the Dodgers have been in the postseason every single time. After the first two-thirds of my life where they were hardly ever in the postseason, and if they were, they weren't really winning. And it's a little bit different. And I think it's one of the debates we've had in the past is when the Dodgers clinched the division, having a celebration. And I know a lot of people criticized, or not a lot of people, but there was those people that criticized, like, oh, you know, don't celebrate too much. You haven't done anything, blah, blah, blah. And I think those people thought the division was a formality. And we learned this year the division's not a formality. And it just comes down to the fact that celebrate anytime you can. Celebrate every win. Celebrate every accomplishment. Celebrate, you know, every round you get past. Celebrate every time you can, because you don't know when it's going to happen. And the Dodger social media director, I believe is her title now, Sujo, you know, she posted on her Instagram, everyone's saying their kind of season recaps or thank yous and everything else. And she said the same thing, like, you know, put it in perspective that a lot of teams don't get to do this. There's a lot of players that have never had a champagne celebration or have maybe only had one or two champagne celebrations. And a lot of these guys on the Dodgers teams have had multiple, and that's the fun of it. You know, we get to celebrate as well. Maybe not quite to that extent, unless, you know, you're enjoying champagne or some beverage at your house or whatever the case is, but, you know, enjoy it, have fun. And, you know, at the end of the day, what are you gonna do? Not be a Dodger fan? Nope, you're still gonna be a Dodger fan. So we're here and we're rolling with the team. All right, let's come back and talk a little bit about what's coming up, and then maybe get into a little bit of a World Series preview courtesy of some of our co-workers. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is back and better than ever with the new web interface that's ready for the start of the basketball season. It has more odds, more props, more odds, more lines, more everything you need than ever before. And BetOnline remains your number one spot for everything football or basketball related. All your action in those two sports, head to BetOnline and do all your damage. Right now, head to their new updated website on your laptop or mobile device and sign up with the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus at Bet Online. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms, and we will continue to run Monday through Friday throughout the offseason, so come hang with us, come kick it with us, and you know, hopefully we'll bring you some joy and entertainment on in this long dark offseason. Let's wrap up real quick, just some final thoughts on a lot of narratives that are going on out there. And just kind of, you know, I don't respond on Twitter, but I do have a podcast platform where I can kind of respond as a whole. And, you know, I'm not going to address the, like, Mickey Mouse championship people just because, you know, if your team would have won, you would have been celebrating. And if it was that easy, why didn't your team win? You know, kind of thing. But I know I saw a lot of the stuff, and it kind of went both ways of mentioning the injuries. And Jeff touched on it a little bit yesterday, but everyone mentioning, you know, Soroka and Acuna for the Braves being now. And yeah, those are two big players. That's a good, really good starting pitcher and one of the best players in all of baseball that were out for them. But like Jeff said yesterday, they had plenty of time to fill those voids and be ready for it. You know, had the Dodgers lost Max Muncy in June or early July, I'm sure they would have made a trade or done something to rectify and replace him, because they didn't really have an effective replacement just because the depth wasn't quite there this year in terms of really good talent. And, you know, not making an injury excuse at all, the Dodgers still have their chances even without Max Muncy in the lineup. But it's a different situation. The Dodgers lost Kershaw and Muncy in the last weekend of the season. You don't have time to go out and find replacements. You have to replace from within. And the Dodgers just didn't have that talent, you know, players on the roster to kind of replace from within. So they had to replace from a limited pool. And it kind of just, you know, we saw it. Gavin Lux had to play center field when Cody Bellinger would have been out there normally. And then you either have Matt Beatty or Pujols playing first if you want Bellinger out there, but they're not weren't really as good offensively for the most part. So it was a lot of give and take. But at the end of the day, you know, injuries weren't the reason the Dodgers didn't advance. It did play a part of it, but you know, every team has injuries. But some are a little, you know, not every injury is the same. You know, Max Muncy, Ronald Acuna overall is probably, overall is a better player and a better talent. When it comes down to that, yeah, the Braves lost a better player. But it also comes down to timing. They lost him a long time ago. They were able to replace him with freaking Eddie Rosario, who became the best hitter in baseball for a six-game stretch. They had Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, who didn't get to play much in this series, but I'm sure we'll get to play more in the next series, and Adam Duvall. They were able to replace those guys. And you can quibble with if the Dodgers should have gone after some more position players because, you know, running Steven Souza and Andy Burns out there in the NLCS didn't end up being the best thing. But they also probably didn't expect to lose Max Muncy and have to compromise everything else. So things happen, injuries happen, and that's just the way it goes. When it does come down to the World Series, it's the Astros and Braves. I know on my side, it's pretty easy to know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for the Braves, not just because that means the Dodgers lost to the eventual World Series champions, which doesn't really mean much in my book, but I just want the Astros to win. And I think that's probably how most Dodger fans feel, I would imagine. And just real quick on the Astros, I think, you know, a lot, they've kind of become the villains, and a lot of the media, you know, my job included, we've had to market them as the villains, and it just makes 2017 more frustrating, I think, because this was their fifth straight NLCS, this is their third World Series appearance in the last 5 years, and people are like, oh yeah, blah blah blah, they're still good. You know, I don't think, you know, maybe there was, but nobody was really questioning the true talent of guys like Altuve, Correa, even Bregman. They've pretty much been still I mean, they've pretty much been good still for the most part. Altuve had a little bit of a lost season last year, but he was pretty good this year. Correa's still been pretty good. Bregman's pretty good when he's been healthy. And, yeah, they're a good team. You know, they have a good core. They have good players. And I don't think, you know, I'm not here to discredit them. I will discredit their 2017 championship because of everything else. Because guys like Josh Reddick and Marwin Gonzalez, who have been absolutely terrible since the 2017 season, those are the little things that, you know, they kind of benefited from. They had a few guys there that weren't as good, that were playing really good that year. And that's kind of where they, you know, got the benefit from the cheating scandal. And I think it sucks because they were good enough. You know, they might have been able to beat the Dodgers, maybe, without it. They definitely have the talent to do so. And they didn't put it on an even playing field, and we'll never know. We'll always have to sit with that. I think it's kind of ridiculous that Astros fans say they still would have won without it, because they mentioned the home games, or the Dodgers home games that they won. But, you know, they failed to mention the two games they won in Houston. You know, who knows how those games would have went. They could have been a little bit different. And that's what it was. Maybe the Astros would have won that series regardless. Maybe not. We don't know. We'll never know. And as Dodger fans, we're never going to have that satisfaction of knowing that the Dodgers were the better team that year. They would have won the World Series. And it would have changed a lot of perspectives here and there in different situations. It might have changed the trajectory of the team in a few cases with certain things. So, yeah, that's just kind of where it's at. But we're going to finish up here with a little bit of a World Series preview from Gordon Beckham, our MLB insider here at here on the Locked On Network. He'll give his piece on the Braves and how they can take this series. And that's what I think we'll all be rooting for. So here's Gordon Beckham and Kenani Stevens of the Locked On Now Insider.
I'm Kenani Stevens with another Locked On MLB Insider report, joined here by Gordon Beckham, our MLB Insider. The World Series stage is set. It's going to be Houston Astros and the Atlanta Braves, obviously some of the two hottest teams. They've made it to this point to make it to the World Series, but the Astros seem like they're here quite often. I think what we mentioned, their third appearance in 5 years in the World Series. So are you surprised that they made it back to this point, Gordon?
No, I think they're a really good team. I mean, they're super talented. Obviously, they have kind of a checkered past with everything that's gone on over the last 5 years. But the fact that they're back there this year just shows how good they are, right? I mean, they're easily the best offensive team I think I saw most of the year. I mean, like, they were just really, really good. I actually called the White Sox-Houston games in the middle of the season when the White Sox were a pretty good team and Houston just buried them. So their offense is really, really good, and their bullpen's been great. I mean, they've been relying on that because their starters have kind of struggled in a lot of ways. So they're a hot team. Both teams are hot right now. I think that when you get to the World Series, you don't really have somebody that sneaks by. I mean, Atlanta had to play Milwaukee and then the Dodgers, and I mean, the Dodgers were playing really well. They beat the best team in the regular season, the Giants, and then got to the Braves. And I think they kind of ran out of gas. But the Braves look good. They're trending in the right direction. This is going to be a great, a great World Series. I think it's anybody's game. It just a matter, you know, just the small things are really going to add up and matter in the series, as they always do when it's on the line.
We can't take much away from Atlanta. Obviously, they're in the playoffs almost every year, it feels like, as well. Obviously, to make the World Series, that's a big jump for them. But is this going to be something where experience plays a big role for the Astros because they've been here so much? Or is this something where, you know, the Braves are really hot and to have gotten to this point, they might continue rolling that way?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do think that there might be some World Series jitters by the Braves, but I think at the end of the day, they're finding a way to get big hits in big situations, and I think that's going to continue. They just finished their series against the Dodgers, you know, and they're a little bit they're coming off the field a little bit later than the Astros did, and so the Astros had this kind of layoff. Sometimes I don't think this will happen, but you can get away from the game and you just kind of lose a little bit of the feel when you have days off. So it might take them a minute or two to get going, and I think that for the Braves to really take this series, I think they're going to need to jump out to a hot start, get going early against this starting staff for the Astros, which is, banged up and struggled a little bit. So The Braves have everything in their favor that if they can go come out and their bats can do the talking, because their pitching staff is really, really good, and they're lined up. They have Charlie Morton going in game one. So the Braves have got a great chance to do this. Like I said, it'll be interesting to see if the layoff for the Astros gets them off to a little bit of a rusty start. And if the Braves can take advantage of that, if that does happen, they'll be in a driver's seat going back to Atlanta in game 3, 4, and 5.
I think with those layoffs and for longer for some teams than others, you know, it's a lot going to come down to management style. When you look at this, Dusty Baker, obviously he's been around forever and a day with a newer team this time around. But how do you kind of see these two managers dealing with their teams facing off against each other?
Well, it's always fluid. I mean, you just have to basically manage the way your team's playing. And obviously they can't play, you know, I mean, the Dusty Baker has no really say on how they start out, but he's got to be able to adjust for if the offense is there, if the starting pitching is going a little bit deeper, maybe than they did in the ALCS, maybe they stick with them a little bit longer. But it's just a game of feel, right? I mean, it doesn't always have to be A plus B equals C. I mean, there's just different ways to get there. I think Dusty Baker's been doing it a long time. I know he wants this World Series, but Brian Snicker with Atlanta has been around just as long as Dusty. I mean, not as long as a head coach. I mean, excuse me, head coach, manager. But at the end of the day, like he has been tried and true. And an interesting thing too is Brian Snicker's son is the assistant hitting coach for the Astros. So it's going to be kind of a nice little father son, you know, matchup in the World Series. But both these managers really have the respect of their players, and both are, you know, really highly regarded. So they don't seem to make a lot of mistakes when it comes to X's and O's of the game. I mean, they generally bring in the right people at the right time, and it's just on them to go with their gut and both of these managers do. I mean, I'm sure they look at the analytics, but a lot of what they do is based on their gut instinct, and it's proven to be pretty good so far.
I think those are all valid points. Of course, you know, you really have to go with it, especially in the postseason when anything can happen. So let's play a little game. For Houston, if they're going to win this series, what do you feel that they really need to focus on?
Well, I think that starting pitching is huge, and their bats. I mean, obviously this, you know, there's only so many things you can pick from, but their starting pitching has struggled and their bullpen has been super taxed. So even though they've had 3 days off, those innings add up. I mean, these are the last two guys standing, Braves and Astros. And when you've had bullpens that are being used like a lot over the first two series, that adds up. And sometimes those guys can't close that out. So for them to win, the starting pitching has to go deeper in the games, and then their offense has to continue doing what it's been doing most of the year.
Okay. Now on the reverse, what do you think Atlanta really needs to focus on for them to be successful and, you know, get through here with a championship?
It's starting pitching. It's starting pitching for me. If the Braves pitching staff shows up and are effective like they have been and keep numbers down on the other side, keep runs to a minimum, I think that the Braves are going to be tough to beat, because the bread and butter for the Astros is their offense. If they don't score runs, I mean, they're while their staff has done fine, they're starting pitching struggles, and then they have to give it to their bullpen that's already taxed. So I really think the key to the Braves is starting pitching, their starting staff. If they can go deep into games, give their bullpen a chance, because some of those guys in the bullpen for the Braves have been lights out. I mean, Tyler Matzek has had one of the most amazing postseasons you can find for a reliever. And Will Smith, to close it out, has been very good as well. So if they can pitch, if they can get deeper into games, I think that they're going to get enough hits to win this series.
Have to agree with you. I think if these are close one-run games, you got to go with the Braves on that front. Do you have an official prediction for us? Who do you think is going to win?
I haven't even thought about it, so this is coming out of left field exactly in my brain, which is generally out to left field. But I would say – I'm going to say the Braves in six. I mean, I think that they're trending in the right way. I think that they're doing a lot of things right. There's something special about this team. I've been able to watch them a little bit more than the Astros this year, but they have – ever since the All-Star break, when they got Eddie Rosario and they got Soler and they got Peterson, I mean, their lineup just changed, and they're – pitching staff continue to do the same thing that they were doing, which is being solid, and they've even gotten better. So I just think they're trending in the right direction. I think that the fact that there's question marks on Houston's starting staff and also, you know, in the bullpen being taxed, I think that this series lines up really well for the Braves if they can get out to a hot start.
Well, there you have it. I think I would maybe go with Houston just because of veteran experience, but obviously you're the professional. So if people are betting, please go with Gordon's opinion. Mine is.
Please don't. I always lose. So go, right. Go with guys.
All right, maybe flip a coin, guys. We really don't know what's going on here. That's our Locked On Insider Report for the preview of the World Series. Of course, if you guys need any more information, check out Locked On Astros or Locked On Braves for more details on your teams.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Jeff and I will more than likely be back on tomorrow's episode to discuss. I don't know what we're going to discuss yet. Something about the Dodgers offseason. Maybe their free agents. Maybe things to look forward to for next year. Specifically on guys that are already on the roster. There's a lot to get into. We're going to have a long offseason, so we're going to get into some of that stuff. Thank you for making us your first listen. We are available for free. Wherever you get podcasts or on YouTube, you can subscribe on both of those. Wherever you do your subscribing for podcasts and on YouTube, we are on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. If you want to follow Jeff, he's on Twitter at Snydog. If you want to follow me, I'm on Twitter at Vince Samperio. You can always get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We always accept critiques and comments and praise and show topic ideas, whatever you want. You can also do all those things via text or voicemail at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, text my device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.